Ingo, der Livestream-Link ist, da ist noch livestream@dorftv. Hab ich eigentlich?
Achso, bitte, dann steht da unten ist der.
Ah ja, da ist es eingebettet, jetzt sehe ich es. Aber vielleicht trotzdem noch das. Ja. Ist irritierend. Ah, jetzt ist das Grillen weg. Sehr schön.
and welcome to the second day of the conference on the necessary steps to establish a European cultural backbone here in Linz. While yesterday's topic was about possible approaches to an easy-to-use data model for the exchange of metadata, today we will focus on the replication of metadata in distributed systems. This topic is relatively complex because we cannot rely on the securities and properties of classical database systems that run only on a central server. We simply do not have an absolute central base of truth. We need to be aware that we are dealing with data from different systems, most of which have been developed over a long period of time. We need to ensure that conflicts between data from these different sources are resolved. In the first talk, Franz Heinzmann will give us an overview of the different requirements and approaches for replicating metadata between the systems to build a European platform.
Yeah, good morning. Before I start my talk, I want to give a quick overview of today's program. After my talk that will start in a second, we'll have a talk by Bert Jacobs and Harm van Stekelenberg from PubHubs in the Netherlands, who are attempting to build a social network, social media exchange protocol based on Matrix, which is usually known as a messenger. Yeah, very much looking forward to that. And then after that, after a lunch break from 12 to 1 p.m., we have a talk by Benjamin Bellamy on ActivityPub. Benjamin Bellamy is the developer of a podcast hosting app called Castopod and runs a company called Ad Aures. And yeah, the talk will be about how to use ActivityPub as a social media exchange protocol. After that, we'll switch topics a little bit, but also not too much. And we'll have a talk by Roland Alton Scheidel from Faircom in Austria about a search engine that indexes just parts of the internet and that is built in a cooperative way. And it's based on SERX, S-E-A-R-X. Yeah. And finally, the last talk for today is on Peach. Peach is a personalization and recommendation system by EBU, the European Broadcasters Union, and that talk will be by Sebastian Noir from the EBU. Yes. So, why do we talk about replication? What does replication mean? First of all, maybe the starting point for this whole conference was that we have a couple of quite large sites, archives and repositories of community media on the internet. But currently those are more or less islands. There's a way to access them similarly. There's RSS feeds that you can put into the same RSS feed reader, but there's no shared indexes, no sites that allow you to browse the content from all these sites in a similar way. So the first target or objective that we're talking about here is that we want to enable or we want to allow building shared indexes of community media. And for that, we have to ingest the content from the different existing sites, preferably in a way that is fast, that is working well, that has a shared data model. That was what we've been talking about yesterday. A second use case for replication is to create reliable copies of data repositories. That part maybe is especially important for the smaller outlets out there. If you have a big company or a big project and like a steady infrastructure funding, it's quite common to be able to cater for backups, for high reliability, high availability of your data. However, if you run a small outlet, a small site, this comes with a big cost that you might not be able to handle. And also, projects end. We've seen this so many times that people start building a project, They produce content, they put the content online, and if they want to do it themselves and not rely on the big tech companies like YouTube and Spotify and so on, chances are quite high that whatever they are doing does not exist anymore in 10 years, in 15 years, in 20 years, because that's just how things work. Things, projects end, people do different things. For a couple of years maybe, people keep things online, like an old WordPress blog, for example, is an often used thing where people like upload their media, and then after like 10 years or something, people do something else, and then the domain is not paid for anymore or something, and then things just go online. If we have a replication system that is able to easily replicate this data to other hosts, we can build a cooperative network of hosts where especially larger outlets would be able to mirror the content of smaller outlets. And that can keep things online, serve as backup basically, and produce much higher availability of content than is common these days, especially for smaller outlets. Another use case is that it would be nice to basically have this replication work live, so that if on one side something is published, it appears on another outlet right away. This can help in sharing audiences, in getting content across borders, across audience borders, across countries and regions. And the last kind of use case that is more or less included in the others already, but that I want to mention, is there's two ways how we maybe want to talk about replication. One is the full replication of a repository of content, so creating a full copy at another place that would include all the content that was published on one host. Another use case could be partial replication. That would mean that you would not sync the full amount of content that is available on one site, but only parts of it based on some filters or queries, like I only want to sync content that is matching some topic or that is published within a particular channel. And that could allow to build focused like editorial platforms that would ingest content from different repositories based on some queries or topics. Today we'll be talking about a few different approaches in this field. There's different ways on how we can imagine such a system working. Benjamin later on will talk about ActivityPub. ActivityPub works a bit like email in the way that you can send posts and media to different servers in a decentralized network, and it's based on a social model of following users and channels. We'll also have a talk that is investigating building a social network based on Matrix. Matrix originally is a chat protocol, a messenger. Those approaches have very much they built on established technologies more or less, or on things that are existing for quite a while, and they come with an ecosystem of existing tools and integrations. What I want to focus now in the next 20 minutes or so is on some data model properties or technical properties of current replication systems that are developed in different fields, mostly coming from a peer-to-peer starting point. And peer-to-peer means that you don't need a server necessarily in between that handles your data. For our use cases, actually, this part is not that important. We're not talking about, usually not talking about end-to-end replication of data. It's not, we're not talking about sending your photos or media from your laptop to another laptop of some other users without servers in between. However, these properties and data structures that have been developed when trying to enable these peer-to-peer use cases, those properties are still, I think, quite relevant for the discussion, even if we're not talking about peer-to-peer replication in the strong sense. And so the next part will be a bit more technical. I hope that I can make things understandable for those who don't have a deep technical background. Please feel free to raise your hand and ask questions also in between if there's something unclear or if terms are not clear. So, what properties do we expect or want from a from data structures for replication? One data structure that is quite simple and brings a lot of properties that are very useful for an efficient replication of content or metadata records is an append-only log. An append-only log is a very simple data structure where you just basically you create a log, like a stream or a host of content, and the premise is that you can only ever append new entries. You cannot delete entries in the log. So the log is immutable, it cannot change, it can only be expanded. And that makes it very straightforward to replicate this content to other sites, because you can always just ask, give me the things that happened since I last asked you for content. Of course, our data is not immutable. It can change. We delete things, we add new things, we change things. And in this append-only log approach, what you would do is you would basically append new operations to the log. And an operation could be I update this title, I create a new record, or I delete a record. Deletes is something that is quite important for replication protocols to put a focus on. Because you cannot just, like, if you have a regular database system, like a WordPress blog or something, if you delete something, it's usually just gone. Maybe there's a trash bin sometimes to kind of recover things from user errors, but from the perspective of, like, the public API, the way that you talk with that platform, if you delete something, it's just gone. This is not good for replication, because the peers that replicate with you and exchange data with you, they wouldn't know that something was deleted. So one very basic premise for data replication is that you always want to track deletes and not just have things gone. This is often called tombstones. So when you delete something, you put a tombstone in its place so that it's still kind of there, but it just says there was something that does not exist anymore. But you keep that record that there was something. Another thing that we've also been talking a bit already about yesterday is consistent identifiers. This is less of a problem when you start a system from scratch, because then you have all the freedom to kind of design your identifiers. You usually just use unique IDs in some way for everything. However, in our use case, with existing repositories of community media that we want to interact and replicate, we don't have that the chance to just start from scratch. We have to integrate with existing content. And so having a clear and well-defined way how to deal with identifiers and links between different entities is something that is quite important and that can be a bit troublesome if not dealt with properly. Yeah, so when we talk about replication, we talk about replicating content that already exists right now. That might change in the future, like if our systems or the things we build kind of are successful and are working well, it can happen that the original content is published right into these systems and then maybe spread to other outlets. But currently we're talking about existing repositories of content. But that also has an upside, basically. We have existing trust networks. We're not currently talking about that anyone can just create any kind of content. It's not about creating a new huge platform for user-generated content. This is not the use case we're looking at the moment. Instead, we want to connect the existing community-rooted content publishers. And this has a big upside to it. that we have existing trust relations between these publishers. That does not mean that there's like universal trust and we just want to copy everything that everyone else does, but it does mean that we can talk about things and that once we agree on standards or on ways how to interact with the content, we don't need like ultimate, we're not in a like completely trustless environment. This is just something to keep in mind because many of these peer-to-peer or blockchain protocols often assume that you're in a completely trustless environment where no one can trust anyone else. This is not the case in this network. So how can we work with these append-only logs? They are basically streams of updates, as I said. Now we have existing content, and so a first step if we want to use any of those systems that rely on an append-only log, such an append-only log, by the way, could maybe also be a matrix channel. Like if you look at a channel in a chat protocol, there's also usually the property that only ever new messages can appear. Sometimes you can edit or delete old messages. This then has to be handled with care, how that can be modeled. So an initial step would have to be to push existing content into that system. That likely will entail like manual steps depending on where the content comes from. But once that is done, it becomes maybe a bit easier because new content would just always be appended to that log and always be published in there. Something that also makes oftenly sense for these systems is to not store the full content, like the full records of data that can be quite large at times into these logs, because then, well, you have to take more care for the protocol dynamics, because then the logs get big. If you only publish like short messages that say this piece of content was published, this piece of content was deleted or updated, then the logs will be quite lean. Like, we're not talking about exceptionally large repositories of content usually in our like spectrum. Like, I don't know exactly, I think the CBA has something like 150,000 records or something, or 200,000 maybe, 130. Yeah, this is like, if for each record there's just a small entry in the log, the full log will be quite small in computer terms. It can be synced and replicated pretty fast. And then the actual content would have to be referenced in these logs in a clear way. One way can be to just have like API URLs in there, like this is the URL where you can fetch this actual piece of content. That might work well to get started. Another approach that is oftenly taken especially in peer-to-peer systems, is to make this the actual content that is referenced in the logs content addressed. Content addressed means that if you have the piece of content, you put it into a canonical encoding. So there's one way to serialize the piece of content into a string of characters, and then you hash that. And hashing means that you derive a 32 byte long string of content that is always the same for the same content. And if you put that into the logs and then have a way to retrieve that content again, you get something for free that is quite useful, and that is deduplication. If you already have that piece of content, it's very like there's not many chances for errors in there. If you can just check, do I have this content ID, this hash of content in my database already, then there's nothing to do for me. If I don't have it, I ask my partners who can send me that piece of content. And because the hash is directly derived from the content, if even one bit of the content would change, it would produce a new hash. So you have a high level of assurance that what you're doing is what you want that you're doing. Now I want to talk about a property called self-certification. With regular HTTP APIs, which is what most current like API exchange protocols use, you have to trust the server you're talking to. you ask the server, give me this piece of content. The server replies, here it is. And you just have to trust that it's the right piece of content and that it wasn't changed. This works well if you're talking about a single system. Like, of course, you have to trust the CBA server to give you the content of the CBA. However, if we're talking about replicating content and forming a network of interconnected nodes that exchange content freely between each other, this becomes more of an issue because you don't necessarily want to trust each and every node in the network, because that would like have quite an overhead that you have to know about those nodes and who runs them and what their policies are. So just trusting every server in the network is, well, a bit worrisome maybe, or it can open the door to things that you don't want to happen, even accidentally, like content being exchanged, content not being tracked in the right way. However, if you add signatures to the data model, and each creator of content signs their records of content with a public key signature, public key cryptography, then you quite straightforwardly have the properties that you don't have to trust the servers in between. Because if I have the public key of the CBA and I receive a piece of content from some other node in the network that was created by the CBA and that has a signature of the CBA attached to it, I don't have to trust that server at all. I know that this piece of content was signed with the root key that only is held by the CBA. And especially combined with content addressability, this makes for quite simple in a way. It's not super simple, but it's not that complicated, because all the cryptography, it's all done basically. You don't have to care much for that. You just have to use it in the right way. So coupled with content addressability, this makes for a quite nice design oftenly, because with content addressability, you just need these quite short content IDs, and you don't have to trust the content behind it at all, because if even one bit was changed, the content ID would change, and then you would notice that there is a difference. And then you can just sign these content IDs and have like a system where you basically don't have to trust any intermediaries. So you don't have to trust the transport modes. This also lends itself well to experimenting with different forms of transport. If you don't have to trust the means of transport, because you can certify the authenticity of the data yourself without relying on other nodes, you can exchange the means of transport without losing the properties of the system, the assurances of the system. This lends itself also well to completely other forms of transport. For example, sending hard disks around. If we're not only talking about metadata, but also the actual media content, that actually is very efficient form of transfer. If you're talking about a few terabytes of data, it's still these days oftenly the fastest way to just send a hard disk by mail. And if all that data in there has these self-certifying properties, again, you don't have to trust the means of transport, but you can certify that everything is the way it should be. So this is now a quick example how this could come together. I will go through it a little bit just to kind of so that we have a common idea of how something like this could look like. This is not one protocol in particular. It's inspired a bit by a proposal or a prototype protocol called ADX. It's published by Blue Sky Labs. It's a sub company of Twitter, actually, that was founded, I think, a year ago or something, where the founder of Twitter decided they want to investigate and research large scale decentralized social networks, and they produced a prototype that is itself inspired by many of the other peer-to-peer approaches or self-certifying protocols that exist these days. So let's say we have a piece of content, like a media asset. It has an ID, like a random string, for example, or some other form of ID. We talked about that a bit yesterday. And then it has a title and a format and whatever other metadata we have. Then we take this piece of content, we put it into a canonical encoding. That means there is exactly one way how this representation, it will be serialized into a string of bytes. Then we hash this content and we get out like a 32-byte, more or less, string of, like the hash string that uniquely represents this piece of content. This hash will change whenever you edit anything in the original content. What you would do then usually is that you create a change record or an operation record, and this would be what you finally will have in the log. And in there you will have this content ID. Then you usually will want to link to the previous change in the log, so that when you have the latest record, you can travel back and certify that everything was done according to the spec. You can travel back in time, basically. And then you will sign this record. Again, you will encode it first. You have the content ID, again, from this change record. And then you sign this by a public key with a key pair. And the nice property about this, if each change record includes the content ID of the previous change record, this means that this single signature on the latest record in the log verifies the integrity of the whole log. Because when just one bit at one place in the log would change, that would mean that all the content IDs up to the latest record would change, because they all include the previous content ID, and thus the signature in the end would not match. So to verify the log, you would have to travel back from the latest record and just verify all the signatures and all the content IDs, but the latest signature already proves the integrity of the log. So if we all have the same signature and verify the signature, chances are really high that there's no corruptions within the log. And then in the log itself, you can just put these records. Actually, you only need the change ID and the signature in the log itself. If you can retrieve the actual blocks of content by their content ID, that already is enough to have a really small and lean log that can be replicated in a fast way. And then in the end, what you still need to track in some other system in this design is the state of each log. And that basically, the state basically means what is the latest operation in the log and what is the content ID of that latest operation. This in such a design would either be tracked in some other system, or there's different approaches how this can be handled, but this is a very small amount of state, and everything else could already be completely derived from this self-certifying system. Yeah, so this was a quick overview. It wasn't, of course, not covered everything. This is, for example, like parts of this implementation or this sketch come from a peer-to-peer protocol called IPFS. Parts are also inspired by a protocol called HyperCore protocol that we've been working with in the past that also features these properties, and there's others. This is not necessarily what we need and want from a replication system in community media, but it's kind of the, I'd say maybe the state of the art of how you would